Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. You are saved by grace. What does that mean? We're going to find out in this segment. So let's come to a verse that almost all of those who profess Christianity think that they believe. Let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And let's read verse 16. It's one of the most famous verses that is seen almost in every football game, basketball game, baseball game, wherever it may be. And everyone loves this. And everyone wants the love of God. So the question becomes, as we covered in the segment before, do you love God in return? And what does that mean? And if God loves you, what is he doing? What is his whole purpose for you? Well, it's contained right here in this verse, is the beginning of it. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There wasn't anyone begotten as Christ was. So that everyone who believes in him. Now, this is very interesting. Do you believe in him? Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus. But in the Greek, it means the one who is believing in him on a continuous basis. Not just one day a week when you go to church. Not just when you get in trouble and you think you need some help. But continuously in him. May not perish, but may have everlasting life. Now that's what God is offering. Everlasting or eternal life. Now, there are conditions to this, as we will see. We've seen many, many times, as I have brought out, that you have to repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit of God. All right? But it starts first with believing in Jesus Christ, that he was God before he became flesh, that he was the only begotten Son of God, and that he came to die for the sins of the world and each one's sins individually. Now let's finish this verse. Everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have everlasting life. Now what does that mean? That in the Greek means this, it's subjunctive, and that means there are conditions. It's just not a blanket. If you say, I believe in Jesus, now you're saved.
Come into my life, Jesus, right now. And I promise you, he will. And all you have to do is that. Come into my life, Lord. I accept you, and I believe in you. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. Ye shall be saved. So if you've done that right now, you are saved. So you should be rejoicing out there. Amen. And we should be rejoicing in here. Amen. Hallelujah.
No. What are the conditions? We covered that. You start with repentance and baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. That is a start. But it's not a finish. You have to live by every word of God. That's what Jesus said. Now, verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world that he might judge the world. At that time, he's going to judge the world at his return. But that the world might be saved through him. Now, let's look at the verses that follow, because these verses are also as important as the ones we have just read. So let's see how you do with this. The one who believes in him is not judged. That is, if you believe in him, if you repent of your sins, if you confess them, if you receive the Holy Spirit of God, you're not judged. But the one who does not believe him and has already been judged because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then he explains what the judgment is. Now this becomes very important. And this also comes right to the point of every human being who thinks that they have been saved. So let's continue on with this. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and that light is Jesus Christ. But men loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Now notice how it talks about works. We talked about that in the segment before. You always have works. There is no way you can get around it, because whatever you believe, you act upon. And whatever you act upon, those are your works. Verse 20, for everyone who practices evil hates the light. Well, God haters, atheists, those who are against God in every shape and form and fashion and manner.
A group of atheists in Northeast Florida unveiled a new monument, and it was placed next to a Ten Commandments monument. The American Atheist Group decided to put the bench in after losing a battle to have the Ten Commandments statue removed in the small town of Stark. The group argued the statue was a violation of the separation of church and state, but the county says removing that statue would be a violation of free speech. So it invited the group to put in its own. Reaction in the community is mixed.
This bench, this atheist bench, is in tribute and acknowledgement of atheists, which is long overdue.
I just think that it's time for God's people to take a stand.
I don't believe in anything that goes against God.
The 1,500-pound bench is the first atheist monument allowed on government property in the United States.
They hate the light. Don't tell me about Jesus. Now, people will say that when they see the nonsense and the foolishness of the fake Christianity of this world, because they require nothing. For everyone who practices evil hates the light. Now, practice means lives this way constantly. What do you practice? What is your life? Do you have the commandments of God written in your heart and in your mind, and that is the guide to your conduct? Well, if it isn't, look what it is here. Everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light so that his works may not be exposed. Again, works are always there. You have false faith and you have true faith and belief. So let's go on. Verse 21. The one who practices the truth. Now, what is the truth? John 17:17. Your word is the truth. And you are sanctified by that truth. Now, sanctified means made holy and set aside for God's purpose. Now, we'll see what that is in a little bit. Now, notice. Practice the truth comes to the light. You're constantly coming to Christ every day. So that his works, there's that word again, you got to have works, may be manifested, shown and revealed that they have been accomplished by the power of God. Now that means through God's Holy Spirit. Now, that's quite a thing indeed, isn't it, huh? Now, Let's come to John, the 5th chapter. Let's see what Jesus said. He was confronted by the scribes and Pharisees because they always wanted to try and catch him in something, because from the very beginning, they wanted to kill him. So let's read it here, John 5, verse 36. Now, this is quite a thing, because this is talking about the religious leaders of Judaism who operated the temple in Jerusalem, which was the temple of God. But God was no longer there. Why? Because of sin and because of tradition. So let's read it. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works. Very interesting. Jesus had to have works, right? Like I said, everybody's got works, right? For the works that the Father gave me to complete, the very works that I am doing, themselves bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Now, that's quite a statement, see, because we're going to see that with the grace of God, we come directly to God the Father and to Jesus Christ. There is no mediator in between. There is no priest in between. There is no pastor in between. There is no rabbi in between. Now, that's quite a thing to really understand, and then to understand what God is going to do. Now, notice this, verse 37. And the Father himself who sent me has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice nor seen his form at any time. That's another proof that Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament before he became human. Now, verse 38 is very important. And you do not have his word dwelling in you. Huh. Do you have the word of God dwelling in you? Remember what we covered, Hebrews 10? Written in your heart and scribed in your minds? Isn't that something? See? They were the leaders. They had the Old Testament at that time. The New Testament hadn't been written at that time. But they weren't following the words of God right while they were at the temple of God. Now, that's something to think about. But it's the same way today. The religious leaders of Protestantism, Catholicism, and Judaism do not have the words of God that they follow the way that God says to follow them. They may have some of the words of God, but they reject many other words of God, so it's a false claim. So this is what it's saying. You do not have his word dwelling in you, that is living in you. Now, to add to that, let's just come over here to John 6:63. Here's what Jesus said. It is the Spirit that gives life, the Holy Spirit from God the Father. The flesh profits nothing. Doesn't matter how good you are in the flesh. It doesn't matter how many traditions you have. It doesn't matter what your works are if they are not the works of God. Notice what he says then. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It's the living word of God from the living Savior, Jesus Christ, and the living God the Father to us, written down. So we know what we need to do. Back here to John 5. You do not have his word dwelling in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. He's saying, you don't believe on me. You search the scriptures. They had the scriptures, just like so many have today, but they don't use them. They only use certain verses that they agree with. For in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are the ones that testify of me, but you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Question. Are you willing to come to God His way? Now, we've got a segment right on Church at Home here. Return to God His way. Will you do that? You can't come to God any old way you think. You got to do it His way. So he says here, verse 42, "But I have known you that you do not have the love of God in yourselves." That's quite a statement, isn't it? Think about that for a minute. The very leaders at the temple, the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, did not have the love of God in them. They didn't have the Word of God in them. They completely left that all out for their own traditions. Verse 43, "I've come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. But if another comes in his own name, you will receive him." How are you able to believe, you who receive glory from one another, and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? See? How are you going to know and understand about God unless you come to God His way? Humble, repentant, willing, and obedient. Keeping the Ten Commandments of God. Keeping the words of Jesus Christ. Now notice what else he said here. Because this is true. And this also shows why we need the Old Testament as well as the New. Verse 45. "Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father." No. "There is one who accuses you, even Moses, in whom you have hope." Because they didn't even believe Moses. Verse 46. "But if you believed Moses..." Question, do you believe Moses? Do you believe the prophecies of Christ and Moses? Do you believe in the Ten Commandments? "You would have believed me, for he wrote about me." Here's a key for all of Protestantism, all of Catholicism, and all of Judaism. "For if you do not believe His writings, how shall you believe my words?" Quite a statement, isn't it? The only way to return to God. Now let's come back to Ephesians, the second chapter, and let's see about being saved by grace. And grace does not give us license to sin. And sin is the transgression of the law. Ephesians 2, let's begin right here in verse 1. "Now you were dead in trespasses and sins." If you haven't had your sins forgiven and been baptized by full immersion in water, then you haven't had your sins forgiven. "In which you walked in times past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Satan is the god of this world, and he is the god of all the errors of Judaism, Catholicism, and Protestantism, atheism, Satanism. All of those things are of this world. And speaking of Satan, he says, "the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience." That spirit, that attitude, leads you away from God, leads you into sin. What are your sins? You know them. All you have to do is look at the Ten Commandments. And if you're going to repent of them, you take your Bible and you open it up to Exodus 20, to the Ten Commandments, and you start reading them and then confessing your sins to God. And when you're done with that, then you have to resolve not to continue walking in those sins, and you have to come to the point that you need to be baptized. Now notice, "among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Now notice, this is the opposite of loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul. This is loving your lust, doing your own will, and rejecting the love of God. But there comes a point in your life that God is going to, bang, open your mind so you'll want to know about God. Now that comes here in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, for you have been saved by grace. Now this is read by the Protestants over and over again. Grace is the forgiveness of your sins, and grace describes the relationship that now you will have with God on a permanent basis. It's not just a thing for your sins being forgiven. You have to walk in the way of God. You have to think in the way of God. You have to do the things of God. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. You believe in Christ, you believe in his sacrifice, you believe that he will forgive your sins, that you confess your sins, you accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and all of that is there. And then you walk in faith and walk in truth and walk in the commandments of God. Through faith, and this is especially not of your own self. It's not something that springs out within you. It's something that God will give you so you can repent. It is the gift of God, not of your own works, so that no one may boast. Has to be the works of God. Now let's understand a great and tremendous truth right here. Because when you come to God and receive the Holy Spirit, that begins a new spiritual creation within your heart and mind by God to prepare you for eternal life. And this then becomes a lifelong way of living, studying the Word of God, knowing the truth of God, thinking with the Word of God, living your life as inspired by the Spirit of God within you, see? Now what does God do? He creates in us a brand new spiritual person, step by step. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship. God is working in you. God is working through you. God is giving his laws and commandments into your heart and mind so that you can walk in his way, believe his truth, walk in the light. Notice the next word, created in Christ Jesus. Yes, God is doing something internally within you, and that is helping you to develop the mind and character of Christ, which is another whole topic that we will cover. Now notice, created in Christ Jesus unto the good works. Now what are the good works? The commandments of God. You either have evil works or good works. The evil works are motivated by Satan, the devil, and the lust of the flesh. The good works are motivated by Jesus Christ and God's Spirit within us, unto the good works that God ordained beforehand. This was all in the plan of God, in order that we might walk in them. Now let's come down here to verse 18, because this is important. When you get on your knees to pray, your prayer goes directly to God the Father. Verse 18, for through him, that is Christ, we both, that is Jews and Gentiles, have direct access by one Spirit to the Father. Now that's what it means to be under grace, to be saved by grace, to live in grace. It takes faith and hope and love and grace to keep the commandments of God. And it is a whole way of life. It's not just a religion to save your soul from an ever-burning hell, but a complete relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. So when Christ returns, which he's going to, you can be resurrected and become an eternal, immortal spirit, son or daughter of God the Father. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and be sure and ask for our publications on grace, and that those things will help you grow in grace and knowledge and have a tremendous relationship with God the Father in Jesus Christ. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.